Pleasant good morning. This is Down to Brass Tacks, the Thursday edition, February 6, 2020. We're moving steadily along in the year of our Lord. So could you imagine we're in February? But nonetheless, I just want to raise the flag of yesterday. I had the privilege of attending the Barbados Chamber of Commerce luncheon, along with hundreds of members of the business community. We had members of the diplomatic corps and some ministers and a whole set of execs there. We came to hear Dr. Kevin Greenidge, who is the special advisor on the economy to the Barbados government. And then we got a chance to engage the prime minister. And I thought it was a very informative and insightful session. And we were able to get I thought it was something I'd been hearing before, but it was so very explanatory and so clearly articulated by none the other, that what we call a son of the soil, Kevin himself, and he would have been one of my lecturers on campus many years ago, as well as a tutor. And I found that he gave the full story in a very non-partisan way, and I was very impressed. So a big hat would go out to Dr. Kevin Greenidge on him sharing with us the story of the strategy that government has used, which is three-prong, which would have been to protect the dollar and then to offer a certain level of stabilization, the stage of and phase at which we are at now, and then with a view to moving towards transformation. And that has very many different tentacles to it. But the perspective on the 10-year term that is used, the lost decade, he used it more from the economic perspective because Barbados would have seen little to no growth over that 10-year period. And he kind of put things in context and to articulate it for the business community. And then he talked about how our growth went down, but our debt went up. And as you know, in any household, if your income is continually falling, your debt will go up. And he gave some extremely good explanations. And at the same time, over a time period, we would have seen inflation go up as well by as much as 38%. So we were not in a great place. And our reserves were being eroded. He gave some really, really good examples. He used a lot of analogies which brought things home very, very clearly. And then came BERT, the program, which was a homegrown program. And he himself, being an employee of the IMF, would have participated in crafting the new Barbados agenda for where we would go and what we would do to resuscitate the economy. I thought the explanation of why the extended fund facility was necessary, how we got there, and then what we have been doing since then, after which we started seeing some upgrades and a couple of things so that we can lead to a certain level of fiscal sustainability and fiscal adjustment. I'm very impressed, and I always like to sit at the foot of an economics lecturer to hear them articulating in ways that otherwise can't be articulated, and he really did break it home for a lot of members of the business community yesterday. And I know that persons will have different perspectives on the choice of funding or whether or not we are borrowing so much. But at this point, if you are, he gave something that he's not good at, but he said he gave a little bit of animation where he showed the patient Barbados being on a flat bed, on a bed. And it was flatlining to some extent. And he gave the pictures of the doctors and the surgeons around. He looked at it. He put up a little bit of what was needed. The discussion between the surgeons, or this person needs help, but they're not growing. They now have to learn again and to grow again. And to me, that really, really hit home in terms of the explanation. And to move from a stage of debt to GDP ratio of 176% now down to around the range of 119% in less than 2 years is indeed commendable. So, and I know that there are persons who are suffering. I know that it is putting significant pressure on a number of sectors and a number of players in this big thing called Barbados, but we know that it is coming to a good end, and that it has a particular purpose, and that is to resuscitate the Barbados economy and to see some growth. Yes, last week we talked a little bit about why there's so little growth and then the need for diversification, and that will come down the road. So I was glad to have been there and to have heard the explanation, and I hope to hear from you today. You can call on any topic, in fact, not only on the economy or where we are, but one of the things that it left me from that discussion was the need for us to improve our productivity in Barbados. And it goes back to personal responsibility and doing a little bit more and giving a little bit more in whatever sphere you're in. So my encouragement to you is to keep going and to keep fighting and to keep giving. This is Down to Brass Tacks. My name is Lisa Gale.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning.
Yes, ma'am. I joined other people around the world, including Barbados, and paying tribute to Robert Nest's tomorrow birthday.
Yep.
Could you tell me exactly what, if it's possible for you for any monument to come to Barbados, for the Barbados government to bring any monument, any personalities to Barbados, like including like Bob Marley and those guys, like a statue or anything, that would be possible?
You mean in terms of his, to this, he would have been 75 today, I understand. And
yeah.
You mean in terms of paying tribute to this icon?
Yeah, just like how you got a statue with like Nelson, you know, but I know you use your own nationality, your country, so that's why I asked that question.
There are some people who transcend country in terms of significance, and for sure, yes, there are persons who have been immortalized, you want to put it that way?
who've done good
from other places, like even the little Mandela Park that we have there in Cave Hill, down from Cave Hill campus. But I'm not so sure what the powers that be would do in honor of the right, can't call him the right honorable, but Nestor Marley, Bob Nestor Marley, who has
he has really done
us, not just literary followers, but he in his writings, he was beyond and before his time. And his work has transcended century. Decades, really. He's been intentional. He has been phenomenal. He has been gifted. He has left a lot with us, even in his very words. I had the privilege a couple years ago to go to his museum in Jamaica, having been there nearly 10. I think we did our 10th visit was a couple years ago, and having visited and gone into so they show you a video, you get to see him in some of his expressions across the globe, because he would have been widely traveled, and you can purchase paraphernalia, and you felt so connected to this man who was so highly intelligent and who was so long before his time. And I have a special feeling towards him, knowing that I myself am also a Februarian, and I thank you for bringing his birthday back to me. I saw it this morning, and for some reason, my mind was more on the economy than on anything else. But he does deserve to be paid a tribute. I'm not so sure how far the powers that be would go, but thank you for bringing it to our attention today. This is Down to Brass Tacks.
Hello, good morning.
Good morning.
I agree with that, Paula, about the statue, but we can't afford it at this time.
Okay.
In this financial crisis.
Mm-hmm.
I want to talk about Marty, but I'm going to leave that for last. Now, the front page, near no guarantee. Molly says more job losses, taxes, and camp. I understand the situation that she has inherited, but what have me baffled, really, really baffled, and both parties are guilty of it, that we are in financial their strength. When David Thompson came to office, he spoke about $600 million not being owed to government. I know he cut or wrote off a debt to the Barbados of Club. Danny sat there with me.
I remember you telling us about that a little while ago.
Right? Now, the same thing has happened again. You cannot be in such that stress and writing off that. Everything, the sensible thing to do is to try to collect as much as that debt, if not all, as possible.
Now, even if, let me just stick a pin, even if it is deemed uncollectible by the accountants, and when I say uncollectible, there's some people whose businesses would have folded up, some people who would have died off. I mean, this is all debt we're talking about. This is not current debt. So in a scenario like that, what would you do? Just keep it on the books?
You know something? Mm-hmm. The business on standard, but you know something? Debt is accumulated, right?
Yeah.
If you don't pay your 10 cents this week, and it goes on, you got 20 cents. If you can't pay a 10, how are you heading up here a dollar? So you refuse to realize your financial commitment. Right? If so that you hit hard times, you should go into the relevant people and explain to them. That's how you feel. Now, if they said that taking back other people's money and not paying is a criminal act, right? And this didn't start with her. It started during Christian Lestain. And he raised the bar. Now, when you raise the bar, all you're doing is giving those people who are not paying him more money. By doing that, you are giving Barbados more money in the hand to spend. And Barbados are the type of people who once got money, they can spend them. I know that for a fact. You can't keep on burdening people with tax after tax after tax after tax. And you got people who can afford to pay this thing because, tell me, this $600 million is accumulated by people who spend snacks and sweet drinks and that kind of thing. It got to be people in some very, very high positions. This thing has to be retaught. It cannot go on like this. And to remove more people out of the workforce, but yeah, you have a minister in the Ministry of Finance who want to convince me about them employing young people and all kind of nonsense. I am buying that. If Mr. Strong thinks that all Barbadians are idiots, yes, let people think that I'm an idiot, but now, you know. And you know what he does that? When people are convinced that you're an idiot, to do things right before your very eyes that they won't normally do. So what I does, I monitor and I watch you. And when I cut that rope, it's well cut. They're not telling you about.
No forgiveness.
None.
Why you gonna forgive me?
None. No. You know, a lot of people, you know, you will see a person then, a person who is a nuisance to society. You might have a heart, and you're going to save them. Right? That man can't do more ingress, you're going to tell yourself, actually, leave that. But not me. I can let that one time. That way, it's so harsh. But sometimes, I'm a very kind-hearted person. Right? Mm-hmm. I'm the kind of person that gives you my last and suffer rather than keep my last and watch you suffer. But I've got people out there who take great advantage of people's kindness. That does it. And it happens on a daily basis.
It happens to you? You let anyone take advantage of
it? It has happened. I will not deny the fact that it hasn't happened. It has happened. But I don't let that stop me from helping another human being. Because when you go through these experiences, mm-hmm. what you tell yourself, my next butt come along, I ain't gonna do it. But you know how bad it will feel. They can live with it. That someone who was really in need and they tell me about condom and then the other person dropped on that. They can live with that. But they always said this, right? There's a higher power. Some people call it Jah, some people call it God, some people call it Allah.
Who you call him?
They call it anything. But I recognize that there's a higher power. Mm-hmm. Because there are things that no man can do. Mm-hmm. Right, and he will deal with it in your own time. Now, about Barty, he is where my inspiration comes from. Okay. A lot of people might not know this, but he was honored by United Nations with a Peace Medal, and mm-hmm. he did not even go to United Nations headquarters. They had to send it to Africa. Right. Had to send it to Africa. That's where he received it. And I want Mark Williams. This is about the third time I'm calling him. Oh.
Who's this? Sorry?
Mark Williams. Mm-hmm. When Marty was denied permission to come here to perform, I hear Mark had a set with the contract and the things he wanted. Now, when Marty went to Zimbabwe to perform for their independence celebrations, the Zimbabwean government couldn't afford to lift his equipment to Zimbabwe. Marty took it upon himself out of his own pocket to airlift all of his equipment from London to Zimbabwe. And you want to tell me a man whose mission was to go through this world and try to unite black people and people in general, who had a positive message for people, would have not, would a contract stop him from performing? Mark, yes, you are a promoter. You may have privileged some more things than me, but I am not buying that in this case. I studied Bob Marley's life, but he was studied for an exam. One of the most humble persons you could ever come across. You know, he
was a special soul.
It's so sad that these things only came to the fore of the year. I hear people say that he was the father not only to his children, but to many, many, many children. And I heard one man say that when he gave you something, he didn't give you a pittance. He gave you something that you can start your own business. He gave you that foundation. And to know that his own people, tried to tear him out. You know, it's sad. And the album Exodus was branded as album of the 20th century. From a black man's perspective, I would say survival. Just looking at the cover alone with the slave spot in the slave trade and all the African flags on that album, and then the music of itself, Africa Unite, that is my anthem. Mm. Because it's calling for the unification of all black people. And we can't see this yet. As we allow ourselves to become divided people, not only Nick Marley, the Malcolm X's, the Steve Biko's, the Nelson Mandela's, all of them, Martin Luther King, would have died in vain. Those people knew what they were going through. Those people knew they were putting their lives on the line. Marley's mother said in an interview, he told her he will be murdered at the age of 36. It happened. Most people, after being shot, will not have gone before hundreds and thousands of people and performed. That shows the courage of the man. Are we going to let these people down? Are we going to do that?
I'm going to thank you so much. And one thing I heard you say before, until the philosophy of you went on, and you know you read it all out for me. So I didn't know you were a Marley fan, but good to know. This is Dr. Brasta. Dr. Brasta.
Good morning to you, Ms. Gill.
Good morning, sir.
How are you this morning?
I'm doing well, thank you.
I wasn't going to call because I love to listen sometimes, but I want to put the record right. I hope Mr. P is listening. And I hope he understands fully that in booking an artist, the fee required by the artist is not all. There's something called a writer that is more outstanding and must be kept and must be respected and must be honored as far as the artist and his troupe is concerned. What it is say, and it will continue to say because I have the information and I'm familiar with it, Marley's contract was a contract that signifies several aspects outside of his payment. And that was that, one, the contract meant that you had to find an accommodation that was suitable for him and the band. You had to find accommodation that was suitable for him to exercise, to play football, and to have the recreation that he would want as far as the band was concerned. It has nothing to do with what fee he asks. It's a writer. It's something that is a personal request from the artist or the artist management. In terms of Barbados, he was booked for Barbados, which I know. He went to Trinidad, and again, the same part of the contract that Mr. P may not know of this, that part of Marley's contract was that the promoter was responsible for any taxes and any fines that incurred in that trip. So if you went off to Trinidad and there were taxes involved in terms of entertainment tax, it was not Marley's responsibility. It was the promoter's responsibility. If he was charged for, as was happening in Trinidad, charged for the use of a substance, then it was not, because the promoter agreed to the raider. Unfortunately, we could not have agreed to the raider here in Barbados, because there were complications of finding the correct location and outstanding positions as far as the contract was concerned. But Mr. P seemed not to understand that, as far as it's concerned, somewhere along the line, you could like a person, you could indulge in the life of that person, but then there's certain aspects of the person that you must get further into. And I say that, you know, having read Marley's life, I know that there's some people in Jamaica who believe that Marley, and I know he may be accused of this, a prophet in his own way, but people like Peter Tosh and those people believe that Marley was not as faithful to them in the Rastafarian group as he should. Because up to today, Peter Tosh has gone to his grave, and Peter Tosh has never, ever worked for a promoter outside of the Rastafarian Brethren. And you know, this was the belief that you cannot betray your brothers, you cannot betray your brethren by working outside of regards to what they're offering. And Peter Tosh has gone to his grave as being the rebel of entertainers from that faith. So I want Mr. Peter to understand fully. Please, sir, you love Marley. I don't think you love Marley as much as I've done, because I've read him, I've studied him, I understand exactly everything from his date of birth in 1945 all the way through. Okay. But there is still some people who believe that as far as his faith in the brethren, that his faith in brethren was not as outstanding as some of the others, like Peter Tosh, Bunny Wheeler. Those people believe that somewhere along the line there has been a division between the two, as far as artists are concerned. So, personally speaking, as far as it's concerned, Mr. P, you have a point, but please understand what I'm explaining to you, that there is something called a writer, that all performing artists work, it's known as their personal.
You shared it, you said it already.
Right, so I want him to understand. No, I want to come back. No, I better move on. I think I cleared that issue once and for all, mm-hmm. and I don't need to entertain the errors anymore. I think he's understood what I've just said. To that point, you have a friend there.
Thank you, sir. We have a person here on WhatsApp who says that I have shared. I just missed it. Sorry. They said that these things that I talk about are all talk shops. Our businesses refuse to lead our economy by not being competitive and supplying more goods and products to the market. The time has come for those businesses to stop relying on government and begin to create the necessary business environment where they create jobs and our economy can grow. Interesting perspective. And then another person here kind of agreeing with, Not necessarily agreeing with what Mr. Williams said, but the person said that some people praise Mr. Marley for his music, his lyrics, and his messages, but they fail why did he not make provision for his many children, etc.? And other people subsequently made millions out of his estate, which is still in disarray. So a lot of different mixed emotions on the life of Mr. Marley. I think what most people have reflected on, and that is on that which is good, what his legacy was. But again, we know that legacy is not only what you did that is good. It can also be what you did that has derailed some of that goodness. This is Dr. Brastatz. Good morning.
Hello, good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, Ms. Gay. A couple of things here, really. And I want to go back to what Glenn Murray's talking about, where he's talking about clean up Buster and the wrongly government host. But I want to take it over to Lucy, though. I was wondering why it is that now they had Sir Lucy manage over that the Seleucid people does see fit to clean the area leading into Harrison Lake House, which I think that lake house could be a tourist attraction if it's refurbished. I made to look like something that people want to go visit and not going through a road that is a bad road first thing, and then there's a lot of bush down there. And a lot of people will really, like years ago, would want to take a little walk, be up the bus and take a little walk to visit these places. And my thing is about it, that if you look, go down St. Lucie and you look at River Bear, not River Bear, the road to lead to Amber Fork Cave, Little Bear, Stroke Bay. Those places are places that you will get tourists going to, but nobody's not going to go down those places. As a matter of fact, people from that live near to River Bear don't even go to the river now, because sometimes it has a Venus. Sometimes the scene now is not as years ago where you might decide on like time to go down there or have a little moonlight picnic and listen to these waves hitting against the rock stones. Those days, to me, in Barbados are coming to an end, because of what's occurring now in the country today is that people are taking the chances. Because if you, I don't know if you have occasionally will come through the parts of St. Lucie or Lake Tyke, the only thing that you see down there, I know people live down there because you see TV on in the house. Question. Nobody will be on the road unless there's a small room shot past there.
Question for you. You live in St. Lucie?
I spent a long time down there.
But you live in St. Michael West, but you told me you live in St. Michael West.
Yes, but I spent a lot of time in St. Lucie.
Well, last year went down to St. Lucie.
About 2 weeks ago, a place near Northumberland.
For the regathering thing?
No. That's on business.
But you went to the regathering? Because you called me and told me that it didn't have as much people as
told you that the people that supported the regathering were not that many.
And they asked if you went.
No, I have friends that live down there. I tell
so you come here giving me secondary information?
I don't tell the people, just tell lies. They had a big
crowd. You spoke so convinced, like if you were there.
Do you think that? No, I don't think.
But don't let me derail your point. You made a point about St. Lucie, and then you were going on to another one.
Yeah, so. But I think St. Peter Parish, I think that parish is, certain parts of that parish is well developed, because you know there are a lot of rich people live in that parish of St. Peter. Mm-hmm. But certainly back part of St. Peter, like places like Lawson Hill and taking to French Bridges, in the ground, those places. Mm-hmm. Those places need some help. But yeah, my main important point of calling you, though, mm-hmm. I hear you paint this pretty picture of what Dr. The gentleman there, so for your MS, you're working with. Yeah, said.
It was a pretty picture?
Yeah, a pretty encouraging.
I think it was a very straightforward and insightful session. But there was some hard news to swallow.
Yeah, but my thing about it, I listen to the young economists, the president of the Economic Society, mm-hmm. and his picture was straight.
Also very insightful, but the two are talking about two different things, though. I'm glad you raised that, and I did raise...
Yes, but the truth is that, when we look at... I was not there at the breakfast activity business people.
It's lunch.
Luncheon, but what I listened to the young economists, mm-hmm. I could understand where he's coming from. And the main important thing is that unless we see this growth, mm-hmm. we are going nowhere.
Right, but if you indulge me, his name is Simon Atrum, and he said last week that he was referring to the governor of the central bank's year in review.
Right.
And he talked about not being as optimistic about the growth projections, one.
Right.
And then he also talked about the tourism being the driver, and, you know, the very little investment in other parts of the various sectors.
Manufacturing, agriculture.
And then whether or not tourism is pulling along the other parts. But he also said a very fundamental point, that construction has declined drastically in Barbados over the last few years. And the economic growth that is needed... he said that, yes, government investments, but private sector, there's a role for the private sector to play. But he also said that there has to be, after the, I don't want to go and say what Kevin said, I want to finish what Simon said. He talked about all of the liquidity that is in the system, and He also went on to talk about that disincentive. You know, there's a $50 million disincentive for financiers, persons in the banking sector.
Mm.
But his point was about the growth itself and about the role that the tourism sector is playing. Whereas the major points from Dr. Greenidge now would be, given a historical perspective on where we were as it relates to growth, what we have had to do, where we are now, and then identifying the strategy that is going to take us out of the loop. And he did draw a picture of us, and he went back a good couple decades. So he showed the trends, etc. But he showed how we have come down as it relates to the, if you look at the, not just doing business, but if you look at the, what you call those things that you get every couple quarters from S&P, the ratings. And we got to a stage where our ratings, and he showed a picture of a C. So we were below the water. You call that junk status. And while we have come back up, we are still in junk status. So he's not painting a picture that all is well. I might have articulated it in a very optimistic way, but he said we still have ways to go. We still have targets to meet. We still have an agenda. But if we keep to it, then we, according to the Prime Minister, if you stay the course, then we get there. So I'm not suggesting that all is well and, you know, the economy is fine. We are on a mission. It's a four-year fund facility, and we've only probably drawn down two of the tranches. So we now have more targets to meet, and after every target, then we have a tranche that will be provided for. So there is a long way away. So I wouldn't say that what Simon is saying is separate and distinct from what, or that it is contradictory to what Kevin is saying.
But the gentleman, the outcome, his focus is on let's
Simon,
start.
Yes.
We start doing things here and not having the plan on tourism. We still be going nowhere, you know. And I heard on the news last night from overseas that this coronavirus might have effects on the world economy. Because you see
of course, but all like now, there are so many ports that have been shut. A lot of, actually, I was listening to, I think it was the business news on Starcom on Tuesday evening, when a lot of the car parts that would ordinarily come from China, because they've done the shutting down, etc., they now have to find some way, some alternatives. And that has put significant pressure on business. So this is going to have, because China is such, you know, such a trading partner for so many of us, it will have implications. It's already started to have implications.
That's right. And the last thing before you go, I read this last night on two little children coming off the ZR, and they had on masks. So I said, why the mother put the mask on there? But to my surprise, I saw a big experienced woman. She came at the shop last night, and she had a mask on it. So I was beginning to wonder why it is that...
Which type of mask, if I may?
Your mask, like, if you're dusting or that sort of thing.
Okay.
You know the mask you put on it if you clean your house, you know.
Right.
Which
is the one that the pharmacists have indicated there's been an increase in purchasing.
I just this thing before I go, Lisa, I went to yesterday to purchase.
But before you go, though, you just drop that and say you see somebody in a mask and then you go on to something.
Literally,
but so what's wrong with that? They're protecting themselves.
I have no... No quarrel with that, but I told you yesterday, I also went in the pharmacy to purchase a packet of disposable gloves, but the pharmacist that I went to told me that all were sold out.
Mm-hmm.
So I go in this morning and see if we get a pack. Keep them just in case, you know?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks so much for your call. You've shared some interesting thoughts, and it's always good to the word isn't question, but it's always good to dissect what people say, and I like how you asked the question about Simon versus Kevin, and you know, because sometimes you wonder if someone is contradicting themselves or something, and sometimes we still don't know another person's intent, but I'm sure all of it is useful information for us to have. We also have some WhatsAppers. I'm going to go to the phone line shortly, but we have some WhatsAppers that are commenting both on the comments as it relates to the economy and then as it relates to Bob Marley and his birthday and his legacy. So, yes, we know that his birth was in 1945, hence why he's celebrating his 75th birthday. He's not celebrating it, but many people are commemorating his life and birthday. So, thank you for your various WhatsApps. One more, I think this one is specific to the call. So that's okay. Thank you so much for your perspective. This is Down to Brass Tacks. You're on the air. Good morning. Today,
hi,
the 6th morning. Of February. Yes.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning, sir.
Hi, good morning. I want to just very quickly ask you a couple of questions, and I would love to hear your answers. That the economy slowly, you articulated it in your way, that economy now is being boosted and is right slowly back to, or so as they say, back to where it's supposed to be.
No, I didn't say that. Far from. Actually, you, I don't know if you heard. I don't know if you heard it my last call.
I want to hear what you said in your first opening remarks.
Oh, you'll probably have to listen to the podcast.
Because you said just now to the caller that I may have articulated it with some kind of optimism.
Right. So let me regurgitate, but not in verbatim. I said I was privileged to be a part of the forum yesterday and to sit under the feet of a former lecturer and hear him share about his experience over the last 20 months in working with the Barbados economy and the Barbados government as one of the chief advisors. I shared that he talked about the...
What's his name? His name
is Dr. Kevin Greenidge. And I shared that he talked about the 10 years of no growth and how nonpartisan he was, because he wasn't speaking about politics. He was speaking about, he used various graphs, and he showed from the 2017 decline. But actually, he showed a graph from 2008 to 2018, looking at the average growth that, or little growth that Barbados would have had. And he went on to share about the rising debt, as well as rising inflation, very little revenue, and a whole set of things that were happening in the economy. And he put things in context. And
you not say, madam, that there was no growth in the last 10 years?
There was little growth. So in other words, if you have growth, let me just give you this quick one. If you have growth in 2013 and growth in 2018, and you're looking at a 20-year or 10-year, let's do the 10-year, you're looking at a 10-year band, of course it's going to reflect that there was very little growth or little to no growth. Because we are not back in the 2000.
Little growth. What was the percentages of the little growth, as they say?
2.5 over a 10-year period.
2.5. But there was growth in both 2017 and early 2018. Is that not so?
There was growth, and I remember there being growth spearheaded again by tourism in early 2018, yes.
Mm-hmm.
And that was at a point, 0.6%.
Mm-hmm. And in 2017, was there not growth as well?
One of the quarters, yes.
One of the quarters?
Of the four quarters.
Okay, good. So if that is so, okay, as you have just said from your own lips, Ms. Gale, if that is so, all right, why would it be, as they termed it or you termed it, right, about the lost decade and all of that, which... frankly, I'm very tired of hearing. Because if you have a tree in three quarters, we talk in economics, huh? In three quarters, if there's three quarters of no growth,
it would become
quarters it goes to five quarters, that means that the country is in recession.
If it's consecutive,
means now that the country is in some sort of state of recession, because there are debts. You talk about wiping off debt. There's debts that are being wiped off and they're not...
I'm going to stop you, though. Sir, I don't have the agenda that you have.
No, it's not an agenda.
And I wasn't trying to double down on... And you sound like if you want to trip me up in what I said, huh?
I don't want...
I don't have time for that. I said... But if you don't like the term lost decade, close your ears when you hear it. Simple.
No, but you should not say that.
But that's for you and your politician friends to deal with, not for me.
No, it's not friends. No. Miss Gale, we are having a conversation.
No, but you started off by telling me I said, and you put it this way. You didn't
understand? No.
Hello?
You don't get to do that with me. All right, do that with other callers, not listening.
But I don't like your tone. Your tone is a little offensive, though.
No, my tone, it would be offensive, Auntie. Don't say.
No, but
what you're saying.
It's unfortunate. I don't. This is 2020.
You.
And I don't have time for this, so I would probably go on to another, not even another call, I'll go on to a WhatsApp, but I have to read one thing. So I want to thank you for your call. There was an article at the end of the Daily Nation today, and I would have seen some comments on it on Facebook yesterday, where a lot of people were incensed about this untrue WhatsApp that was going around. Fortunately, people don't send me these things, so I didn't hear it. But I saw some references to it. So in today's paper, the ministry says that there was no... it denies the virus rumors. Because basically what I saw on Facebook was this person is... They call all kinds of names, and they were not having it because people have become intolerant of persons who don't have anything good to do other than put stuff out and post it. So I saw the pushback from the various persons. So the ministry here on the back page of the Daily Nation is saying that they're stressing that there were no cases of the novel coronavirus in Barbados, none at this time, and that no business has been closed in connection with it. And this would have come from the acting chief medical officer, Dr. Arthur Phillips, who, as a result of this WhatsApp, had to issue a release to caution Barbadians against spreading rumors, which, of course, as they say, have the potential to create unnecessary panic in the society. And you can read the article if you want to continue, but that was a very interesting response I saw from our brothers and sisters on Facebook, chiding the person who brought that misinformation. And sometimes people just don't even have time, or should I say, they have too much time on their hands to do foolishness. And you know, our grandparents told us that idle hands can become busy by the devil. The devil finds things for idle hands to do. So try and take your minds off the devil. Resist the devil and he will flee. Remember that. This is Down to Brass Stats.